And today we are going to just look at the sovereignty of God. And great to be able to look at that today as we are celebrating with these guys what God has been doing in their lives in regard to putting him first and foremost. So if we were to look in the dictionary and to ask ourselves what is the sovereignty of God, or what does sovereignty mean, then you would find phrases like superior, greatest, supreme in power and authority, ruler, and independent of all others. That's what the word sovereign means. But in regard to looking at the sovereignty of God, it's easy. God is in control. It just sums it up, that he's above all things, everything exists because of him, and he is in control. Angela is here. Angela, happy birthday. We did sing happy birthday to you, even though you weren't here. Yeah. The sovereignty of God means that he has all power, which means that all things, not just some things, not just a few things, but all things are under his control. The sovereignty of God means that there is nothing that happens outside of his knowledge or his permission. Everything happens. He wills it. He, in one sense, allows it to happen. Nothing takes him by surprise. God is sovereign. There is no greater authority, no greater power. God doesn't have to ask somebody else or go to somebody else to ask their permission. God is in control. Nothing takes him by surprise. Not just sometimes, but on every single occasion, whatever happens to us, without exception, when God is sovereign, when we know that God is sovereign over our lives, we know that he is in control. And you know, one of the greatest things about understanding about the sovereignty of God is that it gives you a security that life cannot offer. Because sometimes situations, circumstances, they just seem out of control. Things happen to us, even as Christians, that we don't understand why things happen to us. But when we do understand the concept that actually God is sovereign, and that he rules, and that somehow, even through the difficult circumstances and challenges that we don't even understand, when we understand God's nature, that he is sovereign, that actually somebody is not overruling his will for our life. His will cannot be overruled. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not explaining myself very clearly here because you're all looking at me like this. Being sovereign means that his will cannot be overruled. Ruled. That's who he is. That's his nature. That's his character. And so that's how understanding the sovereignty of God can give you security in your life. Whatever I'm going through, I'm facing this situation, but I know that God is in control because he can be nothing other than in control of my life. I understand his nature. I understand his character. Therefore, I'm going to rest. I'm going to have confidence. I'm going to be secure in where my life is going and the direction and the things that are happening to me. Otherwise, coincidence and chance and situations, that they're just going to lead you. But if you're a child of God and you've given your life to God and you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, then your life is not ruled by those things. Your life is ruled by God's sovereignty, his will and his purpose for your life. He's in control. And that means that you can rest and you don't have to be fearful. And you don't have to be concerned, or you don't have to lie awake at night, you know, fretting. That brings a security in your life. But we need to know God as sovereign God, not just a God that's sitting up on a cloud with a white beard, kind of just, you know, floating around. But actually that we know God, that we know him for who he is. The nature of God means that we can trust God even when we face difficulties, whatever happens. Whatever happens would take place because it's under the jurisdiction of God. How fantastic is that? How amazing. You could walk out of this door today skipping, smiling, free, because you know that God is in control of your life. God knows it. God allows it. And whatever is happening in your life, he's using it to accomplish his purposes. And that's what we're about, isn't it? The life that we live now is not just about for us, it's for him, it's because of him, it's accomplishing his kingdom purposes that he wants to bring about. So Isaiah 44, verse 6 and 6 to 8. Isaiah 44, 6 to 8. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I'm the first and the last, and apart from me there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no rock, no other rock. I know not one. So firstly, when we're thinking about God's sovereignty, God has no equal. The God that you worship, I mean, all other gods are fabricated, made up, and man-made. Because God, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we worship, when we come to the God of the Bible, this is the one true living God, and he has no equal. When he says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, it says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, in Revelation 22, verse 13. So to be the beginning and the end means that everything started with him, and that he's before all things. Yeah. No other God. Thank goodness you're here, Colin, because you always give an amen. To be before all things means that everything that exists comes through him. Just look around you. Go on, just have a look. Look around at each other. Smile. Smile at somebody. We're all here, not because we all crawled out of a blob of algae. Hallelujah. But because we're fashioned and formed and created by him. It was in his will. John says, John 1:3 says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Nothing comes before him. He is not subjected to anything or is not under anything. Our God is sovereign. John 15 verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we can't do anything without him. We need him, don't we? God is the one and the only. There is no one above him. There is no equal. He is the supreme. He is sovereign. He's the boss. He calls the shots. He doesn't seek permission or consult anybody else's opinion. He is top dog. Can we say that about God? No, I wasn't saying you say it, but anyway, just I like the enthusiasm. Yes. I mean, can we say it? Could we say that about him? I mean, but he is number one. He's top. He's top dog. Yes, you'll remember today. That's the right response. When we know God as sovereign, the right response in worship is to bow down and to worship him. Romans 14 verse 11 says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We worship him. Why do we come here on a Sunday to worship God? We worship him because he is sovereign, because he is worthy, because that is what we do. We can only worship him because he's sovereign. I mean, if you're worshiping anything, well, any other worship of any other thing is not right. We can only worship, truly worship somebody or something that is sovereign, overall, powerful. You know, this explains why you guys can do what you do and stand up here and say, I'm giving my life to God and I want to confess, you know, I don't give my testimony that I'm following Jesus, because there's no greater authority in the world, no higher calling than when a person gives their life and commits their life to God, we just think it's a prayer. We're asking God to forgive us our sins. You know, you step into your calling as a person. You know, that's the greatest calling that we have, to follow God. God has no equal, no competitor. Nothing comes close, even to become a threat to his authority. So let us seek God and God alone, because there's no other God to worship. Does God hold the same place in your heart that he holds in the universe? Is there anything in your life that you've not submitted to God? Your time, your relationships, your future, your money. You know, recognizing God as Lord and as sovereign, you need to recognize that all of those things are under his authority now. That actually we don't own the rights to our own lives anymore. Secondly, God is my Lord. If he's sovereign, then he must be Lord of my life. If he's sovereign, he must be. Not if I feel like it. Not, well, you know. He must be. I mean, either he is sovereign and therefore he has the right to become Lord of my life, or he's sovereign and I'm going to be in rebellion to him. That's, again, why you guys, what you're doing here is right. It's so wonderful to be being obedient to what the Word of God tells us that we should do as Christians. So God cannot be separate from my life. It's not when I go to school, I have my own life, or when I go to work, or my family, or my ministry, and then it's God. We've all got different parts of our lives that we have, but actually Jesus wants to be Lord of every part of our life. He wants to be part of our families, our studies, our careers. Whatever we're about, he wants to be Lord of your life. And I was saying, it's God is not an overseas friend. You know, sometimes, you know, we invite friends to come and stay in our house. And if you invited a guest to come and stay in your house, he might stay in the guest room. Yeah? And, they might feel that they don't really want to kind of go into the kitchen. Certainly, they may not want to, just go and take what they want from the refrigerator. They might not just walk in and put their feet up on the table and just flick the channel on and just sit there. You wouldn't walk unannounced into your bedroom. I hope not. They're just like, barge in because they're a guest. Change the perspective now and think about who is in control of your life. You see, you're not inviting God as a guest to come and stay in your home. Actually, God owns the home. He owns your life. So he can do what he wants. He can go into your fridge and take what he wants. He can sit there with his feet up on the table and switch on his television. Because actually, it's his. And we are the stewards. He's sovereign. He's Lord. He's not just an attachment. He owns our life. My time, my talents, my money. Everything that we have. It all belongs to him. Because he's sovereign. And the right response to a sovereign God is to surrender and to submit. Everyone say, ouch. To surrender and to submit is the right response to God being sovereign. That's what we do to his lordship. We surrender and we submit. God doesn't just control things. God doesn't control just things. You know, God, the Bible says, he controls kings, kingdoms. He controls angels. He governs human events. Why? Because he's sovereign. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Proverbs 19 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Proverbs 21 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." Ezra 1 verse 1 says, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation." Revelation 17 says, "For God has put into their hearts to carry out his purpose." And finally, Philippians 2 verse 12 and 13, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Surrender and submit to God. Why? Because he's sovereign and he's more qualified than you to lead your life. How dare we sometimes tell God what we think? Actually, God, you're making a mistake. And, you know, we might not use those words, but sometimes in our actions and the things that we think, we're actually saying that. You're making a mistake. This is not what should be happening to me. Do you, go back and rethink. Have a rework and then do it the way that I want it to be done. God is sovereign. He's more qualified than you to lead your life and to lead the universe. So for us as believers, it means that once you thought that your time and your money and your talents were yours, well, actually, it's all his. We turn our lives over to him because we've been bought by him, because he's sovereign. He's not a guest in your home anymore. Thirdly, God is in control. Absolutely, thank God for that. God is in full control. The right response to a sovereign God is to trust and obey. There used to be a hymn, didn't there? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's the right response when we're thinking about serving a sovereign God. This is his character. This is his nature. This is who he is. All that comes into my life is either allowed or decreed by a good God who will use it for my benefit. Sometimes we don't understand, do we, why things happen? Why situations happen to us? Why we have to go through things? But somehow God has allowed it to happen. It's not outside of his control. And he'll use it for your benefit. You know, when a loved one is in a hospital bed, desperately ill, you get a call and something has happened that, one minute life is going on really well. And we've all had those moments, haven't we? Where life's been really good and we've been just walking through it. And then suddenly we get a phone call or something happens and it just turns our world upside down. You ever had that? Only me and Colin. Okay, one or two people. This side is so holy. This side is the only one that's just had a few. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's all right. Well, I just talked to, they don't need to hear. I just talked to you lot like that. So you're going through life and things are good. And then all of a sudden something happens and your whole world is upside down. What's your reaction? You know, what is in you will then come out in those situations. What you're made of will come out of you in those situations. But you have to know deep down that God's in control. When finances are running low, when relationship issues and there are problems, when you feel depressed or you just feel that God is so far away from you, you have to know that God is in control. And it's getting into God's word. It's getting to understand his character. It's getting to know that he's sovereign. When you understand those things, when you get into those situations and those difficulties, you will know deep down that you have a security in God. To know that nothing in your life can get into your life by bypassing God. When we're walking with God. And I'm not saying go off and sin. And then that just, you know, that sin, and I'm not saying that God's saying just go off and sin and do what you like. I'm not saying, but when we're walking in the will of God, when we're following his spirit, when we're in line with God's purposes and God's will for our life, keeping short accounts, spending time with God, asking his forgiveness, getting that relationship right with him. That's so important. Nothing will enter your life that bypasses God. And nothing will ever enter your life when you're trusting in him. There's a quote by Tozer, and it says that God says that he is the only absolute free agent in the entire universe. He must be free to do whatever he wills, to do anywhere, at any time, and to carry out his eternal purpose in every single detail without interference. Were he less than free, he must be less than sovereign. We must absolutely refuse to worry, to pray intensely, but refuse to worry. Why? Because he is sovereign, because he is in control, because he has the power to look after us. When God does things that we don't understand, what do? We must trust him. We must believe. We must press into him. When we bow down to pray, are you fully aware of the one that you're praying to? He's the one that has all power and all authority. He rules over the universe. He rules over every single atom. And yet he loves and he cares about you. That's why we're here. It's what this is about. It's not just maintaining a service just for the sake of it. But we're people that are gathering together to celebrate and to declare the sovereignty of God and the power of God. There are many people out there that are walking by, and I say this most weeks because I'm standing up here, I can look out and I can see what's going on. There are many people walking by here that need to know, that lots of them are desperate to know and to have that same hope that we have. Part of us meeting together here is so that we can encourage one another, so we can go out into the weeks, into the week, and we can share the hope that we have with other people. What's the point of being here week after week when we're just holding on to the amazing truth that actually there is somebody greater that is able to take control of us and to look after us, that we can put our faith in, that we can trust in every day? How amazing is that? What an amazing gospel it is. The gospel is good news, isn't it? And so don't hold it in. Share it. Spread it. It's good, good news. When we understand, I'm just going to finish with this, when we understand just how awesome our God is, how can we not worship him? How can we not celebrate his goodness? How can we not be people that go out into the world with a mission and a calling? How can we not be transformed by knowing who he is? And I want us just to pray, as we end now, to pray and to ask God to work within our lives. And for those of you, let's just pray. For those of you that you say, well, maybe I'm not a Christian, I don't understand really where I am with God, I don't know if I was to die right now, actually, if I would go to be with God in heaven. But actually, I'd like that assurance. I'd like that sense of God being in control of my life. I'd like to have that sense of being known by God, loved by God, have my sins forgiven. If that's you today, then I want just to ask you to pray this prayer with me and to make a step towards God today. Be the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And you can say these simple words. And what we're going to do is we're going to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry that I have lived a life without you, but I acknowledge that your love is extended towards me. I want to ask you that you'd forgive me of my sins. I want to confess all the wrong things that I've done, and I want you to come into my life, and I want to live for you. And you know what? God does that, and he responds to that openness, that heart, that when a person opens their heart, God responds. So I just want to pray, if there's anybody here this morning, I want you just to pray this prayer with me in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your great love. I thank you that that love took Jesus to the cross. And I thank you that that love was for me. Today I want to receive that love in my heart. And I want to bring before you all of the things that I've done wrong. The things that I'm aware of and the things that I'm not. Things that have hurt and offended you. And things that have caused a gulf to develop between me and you. Would you please forgive me of those wrong things that I've done? And this morning I want to put my faith in Jesus for a relationship with you, for forgiveness of sins, and for eternal life. And I thank you that you've heard my prayer and you've accepted me. And I thank you that you've now accepted me as your son. Help me every day to live walking closely with you. And I ask that you'd fill me with your power so that I can walk with you the rest of the days of my life. And Father, for us as Christians that have walked with you and have known you, I pray, Father, that we would put out of bounds, out of our lives, doubt that you're not in control. Doubt, Lord, that you have, in some way, you have the ability to fail. I thank you that you don't have the ability to fail. Lord, you are sovereign. And I pray, Lord, that that truth would be so central in our lives, and we would know that truth, that we would know it, that we would know that we know that you cannot fail, that it is impossible. Lord, that when we go through difficulties and trials, that we can hold on to you and that you will bring us through and we will see your faithfulness and we will see your salvation. Lord, help us to surrender and submit our lives to you so that you're not a guest. But actually, we acknowledge that our lives belong to you. We just pray, Father, for those that are feeling insecure, for those that are feeling desperate, for those that in some way, Lord, need an assurance from you. I pray, God, would you just touch them right now? Would you just bring security into lives that are broken? Would you bring stability into lives that are in chaos? Would you bring an assurance, God, of your will in a situation? Lord, would you develop faith and encourage faith in the lives of those that are feeling weak in a particular area? Lord, would you lift depression? Or would you lighten the load? Would you banish fear and establish faith, Lord, in the hearts of these people? God, may our confession be that my God is able, that we have the victory. Lord, may our confession be one, Lord, that lines up with your word and that sets us free. I pray, Father, please, that this message today, this simple message, Lord God, would have significant effect in our lives. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the power that there is in your word. Amen.